Amen. Well, welcome to Lift again. I know you've been welcomed already, but my name is Randy. And it's so good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? It's so good to be the house of the Lord, right? So good to be His habitation. And I am grateful for you. I want to give a shout out to my grandson, Cadence. It's his birthday, actually in 2 days, but happy birthday. He's such a tender-hearted young man and a man of God, so really proud of him. I had this picture while we were worshiping today. And you ever go camping? You like to go camping? Did you when you were younger, maybe? I used to like it more when I was younger, and I didn't think about all the things that could get me. Now, a little bit nervous about things that could get me. You know, I've heard the stories of the hiker up in the mountains, miles and miles away from civilization, and doing his hike, tent, the whole thing, and then coming home and looking at his pictures on his phone. And someone took a picture of him sleeping. That's creepy, isn't it? See, that's why you don't take a phone. No. I had this picture. And I remember sitting around a campfire early in the morning, crisp. It's cool. It's cold. You get the fire stirred up because it's a little bit cool, and you've been warm in your sleeping bag. But you get that fire going, and you've got some breakfast going, and stirring the fire up, and people sitting around, and there's no distractions. There's no, at least back in the days I was doing that, there was no phones to bother you, and you would just talk. You would talk to one another. I'm not talking about late night when you're telling the scary stories. I'm talking about in the morning when it's crisp and fresh and the birds are chirping and you're cooking and you're hungry and it smells so good and tastes so good. And you're just talking, and it's just a really strong fellowship. Has anyone ever had something like that before? Have you ever done that? Would anyone like to do something like that except with a nice lawn chair and heater and all that stuff, right? That's called glamping. It's a glamping when you do it at a hotel. Sorry. So in that picture, I just had this thought, this idea, this desire, if you will, of what if you knew that those around the fire, maybe you went to get some more wood, to get some sticks, or use the bathroom, whatever. But you stepped away and you knew that those around the fire had a word of the Lord for you. And you come up and you realized that there had been an encounter, that there was knowledge from on high happening here. And you walked up and they buttoned their lip. What would you do? You would say, "What are you talking about? What are y'all saying? What's going on? What did you hear something? Did the Lord speak to you? What's going on?" "Yeah, and it was about you." "Well, tell me what it is." Wouldn't you do that? Wouldn't you do that? Of course you would. You want to know, right? What is it? What is it? Well, that's exactly what's going on with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit concerning you. They're having conversation about you. They know about you. They know you well. And they are talking specifically about you. And guess what? When they're talking about you, they're not talking about me, because they're able to do that anyway. We sometimes get this picture of God the Father holding it all together, Jesus the Son sitting on the throne on the right hand, and the Holy Spirit, He's a bird. But He's not, right? Comes around every once in a while. But you had to understand, they're in communion all the time. And they're talking about you. And I want to know what they're saying. As a matter of fact, much of my prayer life is involved in me trying to convince him, them, Holy Spirit, Father, to do what is on my heart, what I think is on my heart, what my emotions are doing in me, when what I really want to know is, what are they saying about me and for me? Because if I hear what they're thinking, if I hear what their will is, it's guaranteed. That's a good prayer. That's what I want to pray. He's calling us back to the fire. I see all these ads going on of clearance, end of the year clearance. Of course, they were saying that before. Whatever it takes to have an to have a sale, right? But it is the end of the year. We are coming to the end, and we are going to hear all the top songs from this year. We're going to hear all the top events from this year. We're going to hear all the whatevers. We're going to hear all that stuff because we're coming into a new year. And I really believe that what God has been doing, is doing, and is continuing to do is to draw us back to the fire with Him. And if we got to clear some things out, clear them out. If we got to get out of town, your little town, then get out of town. If we have to get out into the wilderness, you know, even Jesus went into the wilderness. If we got to get out into the wilderness, that means outside of ourselves, outside of our comfort zone, outside of what we just know that we want God to do in order to get around the fire with them. And we need to do that. I can tell you a few things what I think they're talking about concerning you. Paul shared this with the Romans, and he hadn't even been there yet. The whole book of Romans is it's a great book. I love Romans. But in Romans 8, 28, it says this, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." You are on purpose. You are not an accident. You are on purpose. And one of the things about the all things, didn't say all things are good, says all things work together for good. One of the things that we forget, we as Christians, and if you're not a Christian, it's very difficult for you to have hope. But if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, if you've put your trust in Jesus Christ, then you have a hope. You have a hope of eternity. You know this isn't forever. You know that you won't be here forever. You know that this is just a mist, the Bible says, and that there is eternity. But what we often forget is that it's not just we have this and eternity. We're stepping into eternity that's been going way before we were here. And what happened way before we were here is part of all things that work together for good for us. We're stepping into eternity, and eternity is ours as well. All things work together for good. Then verse 31 of Romans 8 says this, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us?" We can divide up all day long. Remember when the angel came? And the angel was asked, "Are you for us or are you against us?" And he said, "Nope. If God is for us, who is against us?" 32, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?" Can you imagine being on The Price is Right like Hannah was? And winning a karaoke machine like she did, how exciting it was. And she won a trip. She won a trip to New Mexico or wherever it was. Can you imagine? There's your new karaoke. And then they don't give her the microphone that goes with it. That's not a karaoke. That's just hairy-oke. He delivered over his son for us. Why would he not give us anything else that we need? It's kind of a matter of perspective, isn't it? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? Don't answer. God is the one who justifies. You don't have to answer who brings a charge because it's God who justifies. Think about it. He's the best judge ever, isn't he? He's also the best prosecutor ever. If you're going to stand before a judge, that this God is the judge. God the Father is the judge you want to stand before because he's going to be just and fair. He's also the best prosecutor you've ever seen. He's the one who justifies, verse 34. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Well, let's think about it. Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? There is an enemy in the earth, and he is roaming around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. He has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But I'm telling you, there's a place around the fire with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You could call it your secret place. Because when you're there, you come into a protection of God's presence. That the enemy, he can't even see you anymore. Why do you want to keep fighting out here in your strength when you can step into the fire with him? Shielded. You know, listen to this. Satan doesn't want no part of God. Did you know that? He don't want no part. He's no match. And he didn't want no part. He wants you separated out so he can bring his attack. Verse 37. I'm skipping one. Verse 37 says, but in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, unless we separate ourselves by agreeing with someone else besides him. I want to do a story today. We're going to read it. It's in Genesis 28, if you want to turn there. But it's about a guy that was in the lineage of God's chosen people. His name is Jacob. He was a twin. Him and his brother Esau were born and were wrestling, even coming, you know, even in the womb. And Esau came out first. But Jacob was hanging on to his ankle. He lost that fight, and he was the second born. That meant Esau got the birthright. Esau was hairy, muscular, hunter, and Jacob was a little more contemplative, intellect. I would say sweet-hearted, but he was a deceiver. Jacob means deceiver. And he learned to work the system. I don't know if I can blame him. He was just working with the cards he was dealt, if you will. And yet God's eye was on him. Because that's the funny thing. That's the funny thing. His eye is on you and I, no matter where we're at and what we're doing. You can't out-sin his gaze. He doesn't look away. He's still there, and he's still wants to be upon you and through you and in you. So Jacob eventually decides to trick his brother into giving away his birthright. Brother come in. Jacob's making a nice, fine little stew. Smelt so good. And he didn't want to wait. And he said, give me that now. I need it now. I got to have it now. Jacob says, well, I will if you'll give me your birthright. And he thought about it, but not for very long. And he gave it to him. And then he ate the stew. And then he was just so beside himself that he'd given away his birthright as the firstborn. But then later on, the dad is about to die, and he knows it. And he calls for his sons tells the son to go get game and make me something savory so I can eat and then I can bless you. So Esau, the oldest son, goes out and does that. And while he's gone, the mom hears all this, and she loved Jacob. She loved Jacob more than Esau. And she saw what was going on. And she said, here's what you do. Go cook some stew real quick and take it to your father and let him bless you. And he goes, well, he's going to know. I know his eyes are failing, but he's going to know. He's going to tell. I'm not hairy. I'm soft. And he's going to know. So he puts on Esau's clothes, and he puts an animal skin on his hand, and he goes to his father, and his father says, well, it sounds like Jacob, but you smell like Esau, and you feel like Esau. So he goes ahead, he eats, and he blesses him. Gives him the blessing that should have went to Esau. Esau was so unhappy when he came home and figured out what had happened. He was so unhappy that the mom came to Jacob and said, Esau's planning to kill you. That's his vengeance. He didn't get the blessing, you did. Your father gave you the inheritance blessing, and he's going to kill you. So you need to run. And that's exactly what he did. After his dad prayed for him, he took off, and we're going to pick up in Genesis 28, verse 12. While he's running, he's out in the middle of nowhere, and he's alone. And verse 12 says, actually, we'll start in 10. Then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place. That is worse than a Motel 6. If you have to use a stone for a pillow. I've been that tired, though. Have you been that tired that you'd take a rock? I have. He apparently was. Verse 12. He had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth, and with its top reaching the heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac, the land on which you lie. I will give it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. By the way, that's us. Do you realize that? This pronouncement here is talking about us. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. That's a cool dream. I don't care if you're sleeping on a rock. That's a good dream. That's a good promise. That's a good word. And that's a word for you and I. Today, if we would gather around his fire this morning and ask him, were you talking about us? He'd say, absolutely. I'm going to be with you no matter what until I have done all that I have said. Well, what have you said? I'd like to know what you said. Would you like to know what he has said about you? You've got to spend time with him. You've got to come into the secret place. Verse 16, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Surely the Lord is in many a place you and I go, and we're unaware. We're absolutely just unaware. You ever been at a place that was just really, this didn't feel like it was the right place? You know, things were bad, things were going well. And you can look back on your life now, and you can look back at, you know, hindsight's 20/20. You can look back and you can say, you know, God really delivered me right there. God was there. I didn't know it at the time. I didn't recognize it at the time. But thank God. Thank you, Father, for taking care of that issue and that situation. So he rose early, took the stone that he had put under his head, and set it up as a pillar. Actually, I skipped verse 17. He was afraid, and he said, "How awesome is this place?" I would be a little afraid too. How awesome is this place? But it was really more of a fear of the Lord, of recognizing something bigger than himself, something more powerful than himself, something fuller than himself, actually something that completed himself. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Verse 18. So Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on its top. He called the name of that place Bethel, house of God. However, previously the name of the city had been Luz. Luz translates as almond or almond shape. It's also translated as separation. And it's also the name of the top bone of your spine that's actually holding your head up, because it's kind of got an almond shape. It's called a Luz bone. See, here's the thing. Bethel equals house of God. The latter equals gate of heaven. We were all meant, let me say it again, we were all meant to live under an open heaven. Every single one of us. We were all meant to live under an open heaven. We were born to live in two worlds, this one and that one at the same time. The difference is, are our eyes open that we can see the gateway of heaven everywhere we go? See, once our eyes open up, we realize and we see God is in this place. You're at Walmart and your eyes got to be open to see it. God is in this place. To see the gateway to heaven wherever you're at. God's still dispatching his angels. They're still coming and they're still going. Here's the cool thing. Listen to this. When Jacob arrived at this place, he was afraid. He was convinced he had stumbled into a dreadful place. So it's possible to be in the house of God and not even realize it. But he finally discerned it clearly, and he rightly called the place the house of God. This is not the house of God. This building is not the house of God. This isn't the house of God, really. As I know, it's called the temple of the Holy Spirit because he lives in us. The house of God is being in his presence. The house of God is being in that secret place with him, no matter where you're at. Did you know you can be in your secret place with him while you're in Walmart? You can, and it's a good place to be, because when you're in that secret place, the enemy can't see you. The enemy can't touch you. The enemy he doesn't want no part of you, because you're no match for him. Jacob had a couple of responses. The first one, amazement and fear. Sometimes I think we've lost our amazement for the presence of God. That's why it's so important to us here at Lift. It's so important for us to declare it, to ask for it, to cry out for it, to walk in it, and to allow the presence of God to manifest in this place and online. He rose from his stone pillow astonished. He was astounded because, like the rest of us who naturally forget that God's present when we're in trouble, I don't know why we do that. There's just nothing else we can do but pray. Especially when it's our own fault. You guys have not ever sinned, so, but I have, and I find it incredibly difficult often when it's my own fault for me to sense the presence of God, for me to want to be in His presence, because I've got an enemy who's condemning me, who's bringing condemnation. Holy Spirit's not doing that. It's the enemy that's doing that. Surprise, fleeing sinner, God is there. Surprise, sinful sufferer, God's there too. Surprise, evil schemer. These are all the tweets I get after service. God is there. Surprise, faithless one, God is faithful. It's astonishing. It's amazing, right? The second thing he did was he worshiped. He worshiped. Took his pillow and began to worship. Poured out oil. He began to worship the Lord. The only way he knew how. You know, the Bible doesn't say, enter his gates with prayer. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. I'm going to tell you what. If you're looking for a way out of whatever it is that's going on with you, it's not a way out. It's a way into his presence. And it's called worship. That's where you worship him. Well, that's when I don't feel like worship him. That's when you need to worship him the most. And how do I do that, though, Pastor Randy? I can't sing. I don't play an instrument. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you begin to declare to him who he is, who he says he is. You begin to declare who he says you are. You begin to love on him and tell him how thankful you are that he is there and that you're not alone. You begin to give him your gratitude that you're even still alive. I know I blew it and I messed this thing up totally, but I come into your presence. I'm coming into your secret place, and I am worshiping you because you are not caught off guard, because you know my beginning from my end, because you know my heart of hearts, and you still love me. So I bring my love and my worship to you. Verse 20 says, then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. This stone which I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. So he made a vow. Jacob's vow here it's not a very good vow. That's not the vow we want to follow. We don't need to throw a bunch of ifs out there. We don't need to throw a fleece. If you do this for me, then I'll do that. See, Jacob was still, a good portion of him was scoundrel at that point. But isn't grace great? Grace had carried him to this place, and grace was going to carry him on, and eventually his name was going to change from Jacob, meaning deceiver, to Israel. That's a profound change, isn't it? What we need to do, he started with if. Our vows simply need to declare what God has already declared over us. And then we add our amen. So be it. Listen to this. Jesus is the ladder. Jesus is the gate to heaven. Did you know that? Don't believe me? Listen to this, Nathanael. Nathanael had been brought, when Jesus was picking disciples, had been brought over and introduced to Jesus, right? And Jesus said, yeah, I saw you sitting underneath the tree over there. And Nathanael says, you know, well, you're the Lord. I don't remember his exact thing because I didn't actually put it in my notes, but you're the Lord. He made a declaration of who Jesus was. And then in John chapter 1, verse 50, Jesus replies to him. Jesus answered. I'm reading 15:51 of John, first chapter of John, Gospel of John. Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Surely God is in this place. Surely Jesus is still passionate about me and passionate about you. And I need to quiet myself long enough to hear what he's saying. I need to come into his secret place regularly to listen and to receive his will for me. His will for you. And once I know that, man, that's a shoe-in prayer right there. That's a prayer that gets answered because it's from the Father's heart. So I'm going to encourage you over these next few days, before this new year begins, before it starts, before people go crazy trying to make all these different things, these resolutions and what have you, which we don't typically do around here. And, you know, sometimes we do so many days of prayer and what have you. But I'm going to tell you what, in the next few days, before we go into a new year, I'm encouraging you, I'm begging you to find your secret place once again. Come into his presence and calm your mind. Calm the noise that's going on all around you. I think often our prayers are just a result of thoughts that we've been jumbling around for a long time. Instead, let's empty our minds. Let's calm our minds. I used to say, my mind never rests unless I'm praying in tongues. Because it just goes. And that's true. But I'm not even saying get after it praying in tongues. I'm talking about you calming yourself. Because God was not in the wind. He wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in the earthquake. All of these things happened. But he was in the still, small voice. I'm begging you to take the next few days on your own personal journey. Come to the fire. Come to the conference table with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because they're convened and they're talking about you. They're waiting on you to arrive so they can share. And I would not interrupt any one of them with what I know. Right? Peace. We've talked about rest for so long this whole year, and we have plenty of things that we needed rest from. I'm calling you now for this next few days. I'm calling you to a place of stepping into your secret place to listen to what is God saying directly to you. Let's pray. Surely you are in this place, God. Help us. Because that's really what that's all we need, is what are you saying? Moses said, if you don't go, I'm not going. And Father, I just hear you saying, we're here. We're waiting. Come. We have much, much, much to share. you're watching me online or if you're in this room, you don't have a relationship with the one who died, rose from the dead, and is alive today, and said that if we would believe in him, if we would just believe that and confess with our mouth that he was Lord, if we would turn from our sin, our mistakes, if we would just, didn't say that never have make a mistake, but turn from those things that we know aren't right. Just turn around and face him and come to him. His arms are wide open. He's ready to receive you and me. He's saying, come and dine. Come into my secret place. And I'll give you strength. I'll give you protection. I'll forgive you of your mistakes. And I'll tell you how much I love you. And I'll show you how much I love you. And together, you'll do great and mighty things. Because I'm with you. Nothing can separate you from me. Nothing can separate you from me. And all you have to do is say, Jesus, I want that. I need that kind of relationship. Forgive me of my sin. I repent. Come live in my heart, Holy Spirit. If you pray a prayer like that, he'll do it because he's true to his word. We'd love to help you on whatever your next steps are. If you've made that prayer and you're watching online, email us, info@lift.church. I got a book for you that'll help. It's called Fresh Start. Maybe you've had a relationship with Jesus for a long time, but things have grown cold. He's stirring the fire, and he's saying it's warm here. Come on in. Come back. Come on. Come on, I got a ring and a robe. We're making a feast for you. Come experience my mercy because I love you so much. Come home. It's okay. I've been waiting for you. Amen. Well, thank you very much for giving me a few minutes today. Next week, we'll be meeting again, and I believe we're going to do a worship, pray, and repeat. Correct? Pastor Chris asked me about that this morning, and it seems fitting for our first Sunday of 2020. And we'd like to have you join us. Love to have you join us in person if you can. Love to have you join us online if you can't. So anything else that I need to share? Okay. If you'd like prayer, we'll have people up here praying, ready to pray with you. If you're online, you'd like prayer, reach out. And there'll be someone that'll pray for you online. Just make a comment on Facebook or on YouTube, wherever you're at. All right, stand up to your feet. Put you to sleep. Wake up, let the blood flow back to your legs. Lift up your hands and say, Lord, have your way in me. Take me to your secret place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless. Thank you.